In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, you know, it's pretty cold up in Minnesota this winter, and Ole and Sven were kind of reflecting on things a little bit. And they had a little pond that they made out there so they could go ice skating. I like to ski, and cross-country ski, and ice skate, and so forth. So they had this little pond out there. But their neighbor, Knut, decided that he wanted to drive his sheep, take a shortcut, to get back to his place, and so he wanted to take them right across their pond. So he got them there, but sheep, of course, being as nervous and scared as they are about anything, they didn't want to go on the ice. So he was trying to drag them on and cross the ice. And Ole says to Sven, he says, "Hey, look at that Knut," he says. "He's trying to pull the wool over our ice." Could have been worse. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, by the way. And you could tell from the lessons, and you could tell from Andrea's children's sermon, all the lessons, it's about sheep and shepherds and sheep gates and shepherding, and it's all about that. The fourth Sunday of Easter is always Good Shepherd Sunday. And fortunately, now that Henry Brown is gone, I can speak more freely about sheep, because he was, Kathy, wasn't he, always the great defender of the sheep. And Yeah. He didn't like me to say anything bad about sheep. At Jesus' time, this was a real good example. Jesus used a lot of farm examples, and this is one of them, because there were shepherds and there were sheep all over in a semi-arid kind of country. It's mostly what it was good for, not much for farming. And these examples turned up everywhere. In the Old Testament, God is compared to the shepherd for the children of Israel, in Ezekiel and in Zechariah and in the Psalms, and it made a lot of sense. Now today it doesn't make so much sense because there's only 1% of the people that are farming to feed the other 99%, and of those, very few of them have any sheep. But I've had some experiences with sheep. They were not ours. I don't want you to think I ever owned any. But you know, this is a tough Sunday for a cattleman to preach, I got to tell you that. Because sheep are not the brightest animal in the world. In fact, they're quite stupid. They will put their head in a woven wire fence and not be able to turn it back the right way to get out, and they'll just stand there and die. They'll roll over in a dead furrow in a field and just lay there and die. When predators come, they just mass up in a pack and stand there and get slaughtered. They're so crazy that they so scared that they won't even drink running water. Did you notice in the psalm today, Psalm 23, it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." You know why that has to be? Because sheep are so stupid, they won't even drink out of running waters. Sometimes shepherds would actually have to lie down in a little stream or rivulet and form a human dam so that the water could pile up and sheep could drink still waters. That's how bad it is. So people really who don't know sheep aren't as offended at this, but if you've ever spent any time around them or almost had your kneecap broken by one, which I did, you don't have much for them. They are brainless and they are defenseless, and people don't like to be compared to that. People say, "Well, you know, we are the sheep and the Lord is our shepherd." Really? What are you saying? That I'm brainless and defenseless and I, you know, don't know enough to get out of the rain? What, is this what you're saying about me? I'm no sheep. Why, I, you know, do what I want. I go, I'm powerful, I'm wise, I'm the captain of my own ship. What do you mean? I'm no sheep. Why? Really? Well, all I get to tell you is that's too bad, because when compared to God, our wisdom to God's wisdom, not even in the ballpark. Not even in the used car lot across the street from the ballpark. When it comes to God's strength versus our strength, no comparison. We're just not there. Sheep need a good shepherd. They better have a good shepherd or they've had it. And that's true for us too. Andrea talked about the hireling. Well, that's somebody who's just, you know, hired to take care of the sheep, but when trouble comes, like, "Hey, good luck with that." Pew, and they're gone. So he's no hireling. He is the good shepherd. And at that time, shepherds really weren't looked on as being that good of people. Shepherds were oftentimes dirty because they lived out with the sheep for weeks and months at a time. Didn't get to town too often. They didn't go to temple regularly, so they were kind of spiritually unclean. And of course, they were chickens sometimes too and would run away when trouble came. So they weren't all that wonderful. But Jesus said that he is a good shepherd. That must have sounded almost like an oxymoron to the people at that time. Good and shepherd, those don't go together. Yes, it does. Jesus said that he was willing to lay down his life for the sheep. No greater love hath a man than this, that he would lay down his life for another. And Jesus is willing to do that. Old man John, the only disciple who lived to old age, who wrote both the epistle and the gospel lesson for today, old man John looked at this and he said, there are really two things to being a Christian. One is to believe in God as the author of life. And the second is to love other people and care for them as we have been loved and cared for. And then in the epistle lesson, he said, my children, he said, how can we have the world's goods and see a brother or sister in need and refuse help? We should not be Christians in word or speech, but in truth and action. He's saying we have to put our money where our mouth is if we want to be considered as being living as Christ lived. We have to help people the way he helped. The good shepherd is also translated the noble shepherd, can be good or noble. And there are people who have lived noble lives, have been good shepherds. I think of Mother Teresa, who laid down her life for the poor and the outcasts in the gutters of Calcutta, India. I think of St. Francis of Assisi, who took care of the poor and even animals, and who said, for it is in giving that we receive, and it is in dying to self that we come to newness of life. St. Francis. And I think of Albrecht Dürer. You may remember him. He was a pretty famous painter and sculptor. And he and his good friend decided that, his good friend was a musician. They decided one of them had to get a real job to support the other one working at his craft. So Albrecht's friend got a job and let him do his painting and sculpting. But by the time Albrecht made enough money with his artwork, it was too late for his friend to play music because his hands were already hard and gnarled from hard farm work every day. His friend had laid down his life for him. He didn't die, but that's a version of laying down your life. And Albrecht painted the picture of the praying hands. You remember seeing that? That's a tribute to his friend to say, those are the hands that supported me so I could pursue my passion. He laid down his life for me. There are people in this congregation who are being good shepherds, who are doing noble acts. I see it. There are people here who are taking care of aging and ailing parents. There are people here who are taking care of special needs children and grandchildren. There are folks here who are helping other people who are in desperate need of a friend and somebody to stand with them. There are people here who are supporting the pantry, Pete's Pantry, for food. People here who are supporting the Heaven's Warehouse for clothing. People here who are listening to a friend who is grieving. That's going on in this congregation, and that's great. However, what if we're not doing quite that well in that area? What if we're feeling a little lax? What if our Swedish and Norwegian hearts are feeling a little bit guilty because of not doing maybe everything we could as a good shepherd? What if our German hearts are so proud, but realizing we're superior, but maybe not perfect? What if we think maybe we aren't quite living up to God's will and his ways? Then listen again to what old disciple John says in the epistle lesson. This is a startling thing. He says, when our hearts condemn us, don't feel like we're doing good. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, for he knows everything. Let me say that again. Maybe you didn't get that. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, for he knows everything. What that means is that when we're lacking, the good shepherd makes up the difference for us, which is startling and amazing. Whenever we don't live up to what we think we should, God is there making it up for us, standing in between us and trouble as a good shepherd. Because, as we heard last Sunday in the same epistle lesson, we are looked on as being children of God. And the only way he can ever see us is through the eyes of love and being a father and the eyes of forgiveness. It's the only way he can see us. And if we need somebody to stand in between, he does that for us. So Good Shepherd Sunday is about those two things: believing in the Lord God as the author of life, and loving other people as the Good Shepherd has loved us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.